Ghostbusters, what do you want?
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
You have been a participant in the biggest interdimensional cross-rip since the Tunguska blast of 1909.
Felt great.
We'd like to get a sample of your brain tissue.
Okay.
I just keep waiting for this bubble to burst, but they apparently have some new ghost hunting show where teams of ghosts. You should watch this one, Larry. It would really make your
paranormal
blood.
Challenge.
Yes. Have you heard of this one, Larry?
Yeah, absolutely. My friend John Oliver was telling me about that at the conference last weekend. He was telling me a little bit about it. I mean, it sounds like a cool idea. He was like, "Yeah, man, you should be a judge on this." Well, here's my deal with that. I'm not qualified to be a judge. I don't think anyone that's on the show is qualified to be a judge. How do you judge a group's methodology and a group's research potential and how they're actually conducting investigation when we don't even know what the hell we're even studying? How can you act as a subject matter expert in a subject that there are no experts in?
Right. Well, I have to send the review I read to you guys because it was interesting. It was. I wish I had sent it earlier.
Yeah, I actually watched the show.
I heard it was very sexist, actually. Speak to that. I heard like that. It was like boys versus girls, and there was a lot of like
ridiculous.
Sort of crass remarks about the lady ghost hunters, which is sort of like. It just goes back to what I feel like is this juvenile nature of what mm-hmm. ghost hunting has become.
Yeah, I may actually be on, and if I am...
Oh, no, really?
I am going to use it as a soapbox to really lay down the gauntlet.
Why, have they invited you on, or is this just...
I was asked to possibly go on, but the only, you know, I was telling Larry, well, you know, should I? But I'm thinking, if that happens... The only way I'm going to do it is if I have the opportunity to speak my mind. And believe me, I will.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it, Marie. Don't lower yourself to that. You're a fantastic exactly. researcher who's put out some
right,
outstanding books,
an
and they flop around on the Travel Channel.
Yeah, but what an opportunity to get on camera and say, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah, but
you think that one would make it off the editing room?
Right, right.
It might.
I'm sure a lot of people who show up on the Penn and Teller show feel the same way, too, and then they watch it, and, you know, they're called fucking idiots and stuff.
I mean, Larry and I, you know, we talk about it all the time, and it's like, well, we really would love to do a show that's very science-oriented, but that's not what people want.
Right.
But we have some people now who are looking around for us.
Good.
Pretty high-powered people that finally recognized what we are doing. And, you know, we're going to go out and see if we can find a science show. Like, what's the one? Through the Wormhole or Nova, that kind of thing.
Right.
But a popularized science show, not a paranormal show, and see if we can get you guys on. Now, that, Larry and I would do in a second.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But no, I mean, I think we've separated ourselves from the field by accident and on purpose. And there's, you know, it's probably a very beneficial thing for us. And it really, really bothers me when, like what Larry was talking about earlier, people who say that they are scientific, they don't even know the laws of thermodynamics. They don't know how energy and matter behave. They don't know anything about quantum physics. They don't know anything about theoretical physics. They don't know anything about seismology. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Hey Marie, if you can see me right now, I'm going to – let me just pretend for a minute that I'm one of those people. Now, imagine me just staring off into blank space, right?
Larry, we're going to get in so much trouble.
Yeah, this one's going to be burning the wires when it goes out there.
What?
But you know what? So, hey,
we're
who cares?
We burned our bridges.
Exactly. You know, so I'd be happy to have a ghost hunter on to, you know, refutiate this if the guy from Ghost Paranormal Challenge
here's
wants
the deal.
To go.
Marie and I both would love nothing better than things to change. If nothing else... You know, maybe blasting some of the crap that goes on in the community, maybe it's a wake-up call for some of these people. And, you know, by God, maybe we're going to get some of these people pissed off enough that they're going to want to make some changes. And that they're going to say, you know what? Those two were right. And shit, maybe I should try doing something different. And then maybe, you know, that'll start a revolution. And maybe the whole paranormal field will change and people will start playing Kumbaya. You know, maybe things will really
Kumbaya.
Start that.
Kumbaya. Well, it's better than the Jonas Brothers reference from the last time you were on.
And the whole thing will be, or Justin Bieber. The whole thing will be is that the people that do not want to think will fall by the wayside. Because I really think that there's two different groups of people operating here.
Right.
The ones that just want to have fun and the ones that actually think about what they're doing and have some kind of long-term goal that they're trying to reach.
There are so many wannabes out there in the field. I mean, it's, you know, in a way I'm sort of sad for these people. I mean, you know, that they want to, they really want to contribute. They really want to do something. They want to be a contributing member of the paranormal community, but they're so damn caught up in all the drama and bullshit and petty crap that goes on that they can't do anything. I mean,
it's
very
unfortunate. Yeah.
No, they can't. And you get it's this nasty, never-ending cycle, and you get stuck in it, and these people just, you know, they just waste away, and it's really sad. I mean, you think there's some good groups that have gone by the wayside because of that type of drama and because of that type of BS dynamic.
Yeah.
Or because they weren't flashy enough, right? They were all normal-looking people doing hard work, really trying to think about what they were doing, but they, you know, they didn't have big boobs. The guys weren't all hot looking like movie star actors, or they didn't have grills, so they didn't get the attention.
Yeah.
They're out there operating invisibly and anonymously.
But you know what? Who gives a shit? Why do you need the attention? Well, you know, if you really are interested in finding, here's my deal. I could give a shit about the attention. I mean, yeah, it's great, but really, I did this before I got you and me, before the two of us were famous. I would do this after. The deal for me is I want to know what the hell happens when you die. Mm-hmm. Do we get a second chance? What is it that these experiences people have had for hundreds, if not thousands of years, how do you explain those things? That's what I care about.
Right.
I care less about other things. And, I, you know, there's got to be other people like you and me.
Well, there are. But
there
you know
are.
What, Larry? As writers, the cool thing about it is you put your work out there to get known. You don't have to be famous. It's the work that we are putting out there that we want to become known. You know, if they know who we are, hey, great, fine. But
sure.
It's not necessary for the writers to become huge celebrities. I want my work to speak for me. You know,
exactly,
10, 20
too.
Years from now or long after I'm dead, I want to know that some of the ideas and theories that I came up with, or me and Larry, that somebody took those and expanded on them and found, you know, something, some eureka came out of that.
Yeah.
Just because we put that work out there.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
That's what's important to me. And I think as writers, that's what we get to do, that other people don't have the same luxury. We get to put stuff out there, and it stays out there, and it starts to percolate ideas in other people's minds, and it inspires. I know that, you know, my book, Science, I cannot tell you how many people still email and say, oh, my God, your book led me in a whole different direction. And now the stuff that Larry and I are doing, you know, oh, the resonance scan, never thought about resonance or sound. And, you know, now my group is thinking about doing these experiments. And I mean, that is cool to know that the work that you did hit somebody over the head and made a difference.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah.
I don't care if they know who I am. I love anonymity. You have so much more power when nobody knows who you are.
I'll agree with that for sure.
Know,
yeah.
Totally, totally. Anonymity
yeah, Marie,
is power.
I hope that it extends way beyond just the ghost hunting community. You know, we've written four books together. We're about to wrap. Well, I wouldn't say
oh,
wrap
absolutely
up.
Absolutely, it does, Larry. You know,
you know
that.
We've got another book on time travel that's coming out. I mean,
ooh.
If nothing else, I hope our zest and our zeal for knowledge and some of the ideas, some of the concepts, some of the well, the conceptual framework around our second book, for instance, things like that, that some of those ideas will actually get out there, like you said, start percolating, start filtering down to all the different other things. I mean, I think there's concepts in the resonance key that could apply to ufology.
Oh, absolutely.
There's concepts in the deja vu enigma that could apply to ghost hunting. 1111, there's concepts in there that you know, apply to Egyptology. They apply to sacred structures. I mean, pretty much, you know, anything that's unknown. The Trinity Secret, the same thing. I mean, we have given people little nuggets of information in all these books that I think could be applied across the spectrum
oh, absolutely.
Of the unknown.
And the Trinity
and
Secret,
that's my
yeah.
Hope.
The Trinity Secret has really opened up the metaphysical, the consciousness field. A lot of the shows that I do that Larry can't be on because they're during the day, you know, and I always try to tell him, you wouldn't believe that how the radio host just went nuts over the stuff that we're doing. And it's like, wow. you know, we didn't even realize we were having that kind of impact. So those people will then take something we might have mentioned. And we're not saying we have all the answers, but it's really cool to think you instigate somebody else maybe going out and finding out.
Right, you plant the seeds.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool. And I think that comes from our passion and our enthusiasm and our love of what we're doing.
Well, not only that, I think our reputations as well.
Yeah.
We both have phenomenal reputations within the field as far as our knowledge and our ability to take those
complex I don't know, after this show, that makes
Yeah, I don't know, Larry.
No.
Well, hey, I've only alienated one group this show, that's all. So.
Who is that? The Walmart shoppers? Oh, this episode.
Oh, my God, yeah. No, that's okay. I think we've kind of gone beyond the we need to impress everybody thing.
Sure.
A long time ago.
Hey, you know, at least, you know, people can respect the honesty, you know. You're not on here sort of like tiptoeing around the stuff that gets on your nerves. Now, I kept messing this up. It's the Trinity Secret. I couldn't read. I have the book here in my hands. I couldn't see the word secret, so it's Trinity.
I know. It's like yelling at the publisher because
secret.
Everybody, the Trinity, it's, no, don't you see the word secret?
Yeah, they got it. Yeah. You,
it was kind of, it was a little.
So, yeah, it's the Trinity Secret. So, folks, now what is going on here with 19 Hertz, the movie? You guys have written a movie. What's that all about?
Well, I've been working for a long time with this producer-director, Bruce Lucas, and he read our books, he loves our books, and he asked us to see if we could come up with an idea based on, you know, he kind of left it up to us. So we thought about doing something with resonance key, because we're really fascinated by the idea that sound, resonance, vibration may affect reality. So we developed this script, and he optioned it. It is now in development. As of, I believe, last week, I think I updated Larry. We have an entertainment lawyer and a casting director. And
nice.
We're having a second budget done. It's going to be a low budget. They're looking for universities in the Northeast area for a setting, because some of it takes place on it all takes place on a college campus, but for the exterior shots. We're looking for an actual university, and it probably will be in the Long Island area because Bruce has somebody from the Film Commission looking for that. So, yeah, it's going slow, but it's definitely moving.
And you guys wrote this movie.
We wrote it. Larry's first time writing a script. We had so much fun.
Yep.
And the idea is that if this gets made, there will be a sequel, and we may even do other things, other movies.
Yeah.
You know? Paranormal-oriented.
What's the matter, Larry? You sound like you don't...
No, I'm just still frustrated that they cut the lesbian love scene out.
Oh, God.
That's why I asked if Larry wrote the movie. Yeah, I figured that there had to be...
Yeah.
That's probably what's taking so long. It's hard to find. It's like Human Centipede to find people willing to do that.
It went on for 60 pages. I mean, come on, dude.
Well, come on. I mean, you know...
If it
God's
doesn't move the
fantasy,
story
right?
forward...
Well, I'll give you credit, too, because, like, you... You know, you're saying earlier that you have grills and all this, and people would love you then and all that, and it's like, in a way, the move to make the 19 Hertz as the movie, like, you guys could have done 11-11 the movie, got Jim Carrey in it, and would have, you know, could have sat around forever and relaxed, because, you know, people would go gaga over just 11-11. So it's like,
right.
You actually,
no,
you went down the difficult road, and
well, he was too busy
focused.
Doing a movie about penguins.
Penguins, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I come from a fiction and film background, so I'm kind of going back to my origins here. But also, it's just the idea that we can reach more people by going off in this route, too, you know, while we're doing the nonfiction books and everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, film, TV, whatever, it's another way of educating people, even if it's under the guise of storytelling. In fact, I think it's much more impactful.
Yeah, and plus it's like, you know, the greatest form of advertising for the book.
And
I mean, more
fun.
People are going to see
mean,
the movie than
right.
read the book, then go get the book afterwards, hopefully.
Exactly. We have concepts in that script that are based on some of the real research we did in the resonance game. That is the most fun part, to take, you know, some real stuff that you're doing and
right.
fictionalize it. It's like, oh, this is so cool.
Cameos in the movie? You guys going to have some?
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Larry.
Yeah, I'm trying to insert myself in the lesbian love scene, but
then it wouldn't be lesbian. Duh.
Well, yeah, no, but maybe I'll be, like, watching through a window or something.
Oh, there you go. I don't know how much that has to do with the plot, but, yeah, it could be workable.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just to see, now I'm just imagining Larry, like, peering through the window. And it's,
yeah, like a psychopath.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of creepy, Tim. I don't know.
It is.
Like
really
that alien video that came out a few years ago.
Right.
Just insert a lesbian love scene in the foreground.
There you go.
Oh, man. All right. That's, so that's sort of like, as with all movies, they take a while. People don't realize that.
Oh,
you know?
God. Well, especially if you're doing it independent. If you're not trying to go to a big studio, people do not realize how much work, how much patience, how much time goes into it.
Right.
But if you make that sale, you're in. You know, and like Bruce is always telling me, because we have a bunch of projects that we're trying to set up. And it's like, just one. All you need is one, and then boom, boom, boom. They want to know what else you have, what
right.
else you have.
Exactly.
So, but, yeah, I mean, we want to do a little bit of everything. But we want it to be tactful and good, except for the sex scenes. But.
Well, you know, what is the can you tell me a little more about the plot of the film, if you can? At least just sort of a, you know, what's the pitch? What's the thumbnail here on the
Well, the log line is the frequency of fear.
Ooh.
And all we can say,
okay.
Oh God, Larry, help me out here, is it's about a...
You know, if I was like going through the cable guide and it had like the two sentences in it, what would it say, you know? A young
what do you
temptress?
Think? Let's see.
Gosh, it's kind of a cross between, did you ever see the TV series many, many, many years ago called Sliders?
Yeah, well, they like jump dimensions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of, it has some elements of Sliders in there. There's some elements of time travel. There's some elements of ghostly stuff. There's... I mean, it's kind of a lot of different types of fictional genres put together in a way that really is very, really organic. It just really works the way we have it written. Think of all the best parts of some of the different movies that are out there, and then just imagine this.
Yeah, if we had to give it like one plot line, it would be a college professor comes up with an experiment utilizing sound. And resonance that allows him to open a rip in the space-time continuum.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And all the things that leads to. But again, I mean, we really tried to have, like, the equipment that he's using. We tried to base it on some of the things that we know about 19 hertz and infrasound but, you know, all set to a really cool story that takes place with it. They're college kids.
I mean,
come on, you know?
Sounds
college
great.
Audience.
Right.
So.
Wow. Larry, yeah. I'm excited.
And lesbians, too.
I know, yeah. See, that's why I'm, yeah. Well, I'm just imagining the influences that Larry might have, some sort of strange, you know. I was waiting for him to say it's like part Sliders, part Alf or something.
Part Alf.
Alf, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there you go.
It's like
Larry's
a darker version
Alf.
Of Alf. Oh, man. So that's cool. Now, as I joked earlier, you have a lot of stuff going on. I noticed here, like, I'm looking at theparaexplorers.com, and it teases, like, three books coming up, and you already mentioned here something about time travel, too. So what is this? It says ghosts,
well,
spirits, and haunts. Yeah, what is this?
Those are – our publishers did three – two of them are out. One's coming out in August. They're anthologies featuring some of the top writers in their field. One is about ghosts and hauntings. The other is about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is about lost civilizations. So people like Nick Redfern and Stanton Friedman and, you know, just different – Larry, who was the really big one for the lost civilization –
Eric von Daniken.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we were all asked to write one chapter.
Oh, that's cool.
Book. So each book will have like 12 different chapters written by different people, so you get a real taste of all kinds of different theories and ideas.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's like a poo-poo platter.
There you go, poo-poo platter.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of poo-poo, did you see that article about the Japanese making steak out of poop?
No.
Did you – you did – Larry, I sent you that, didn't I?
Yeah, it was horrible.
My
yeah,
goodness.
But it's true. Yeah, they want to make meat products out of human feces.
Don't they have enough problems over there now that
eating feces
is not really, you know, shouldn't be on the agenda?
Cattle have all been irradiated, so they've got to come up. Oh, God, that's terrible.
My God. Well, you know.
Anyway, I just had to throw that in because I knew you'd appreciate it.
I don't know what that says about what you think of me, but. Now, what is this? You say you're working on a time travel book. I'm excited about this because. I love your books. We know that. I've said that a million times. But they're very cerebral in the sense that, you know, you really have to work to understand this in a sense because it's so deep. It's so rich. It goes so far down the rabbit hole that it's an adventure. And it's on some of these topics, you know, that there's probably a turn of phrase that I can't think of off the top of my head. But, you know, little things in life. Number three, 1111, numbers, deja vu. But with this time travel thing, this is like... This is crazy. Yeah, this is like
a big
weird dog.
Crazy. Well, actually, the publisher asked us if we would be interested in doing a book on the past, present, and future of time travel from a very scientific standpoint, because there hasn't been one definitive book.
Yeah.
In other words, there have been books like Michio Kaku has books where he has a chapter on time travel.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Allen Wolf, whatever. But. I was complaining to Larry today. I mean, I'm going nuts. This is hard, hard physics. And, you know, it's getting into such theoretical stuff that our job is to try to figure out a way to take that stuff that's hurting our heads.
Right.
And make it so that the average reader can figure out what's going on. And this is probably, for me, maybe not Larry, the toughest one I've ever written.
What do you say,
ever.
Larry?
You know, I don't know, maybe the toughest as far as from the research perspective, but as far as interesting and personal interest.
Oh, no, I'm just talking
definitely,
research.
Definitely ranks up there for me.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun
research,
and exciting, but oh, Lord.
Yeah, the research, I mean, there's a lot of complex quantum physics stuff that you know, we're having to deal with and try to make it into simple to understand.
Yeah, you know, we have to understand it. So then the readers, but what I'm working on now is like a timeline of the change from, you know, classical Newtonian physics to quantum physics and where time travel fit in.
Yeah.
And it's like every time I find something, I find 10 more things and it's like, oh my God, now I got to make sure I get those in, you know, and Larry's going to have the same problem. We each will take like a couple of chapters and then we'll trade off. And so each person gets to contribute to each chapter, but wow.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Now, do you look at any – now, I'm a moron. I mean, this has been established over 6 years on the program. So what have you – do you look at any – I'm going to take it down the route of the audience of Larry's lecture there down in Atlanta or wherever he was doing the scientific thing.
Oh, where was that, Larry?
Where was that, Larry? Yeah, so we can make sure that anyone who...
I know where it was. I know where it was. Yeah,
okay, so do you look at any... I'm going to sensationalize this, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Do you look at any, you know, famous time traveler stories?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we were actually asked not to go heavy on the pop culture, but you can't talk about what's going on in time travel without getting into that because... you know, I read something today that kind of blew my mind. There was and I don't have the names with me, but a science fiction writer in the 1940s came up with a theory that actually scientists 10 years later started to work on. So we have to incorporate that, plus it's fun.
Yeah. So, I also meant, though, like, John Teeter, that whole story.
We're going to go for everything.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to have the more fringe, maverick, crazy stuff as well because it's all – you know, who knows who's going to come up with the right theory.
Exactly, yeah. Did you see that thing a few years, maybe a year ago, about the time traveler in the Charlie Chaplin movie?
The cell phone.
Yeah.
The cell phone. Yeah,
I thought that was a crock. Yeah. But it just shows how popular this is.
Exactly, because that thing went from, like, you know.
Viral, baby.
Yeah, it turned into a huge meme and everything. So it was pretty amazing to see that, you know, I think at the end of the day, the mainstream, they really want answers to all this or, like, it titillates them in a way that they don't want to admit that the paranormal
does. Totally agree. Yeah. I mean, there's been some weird conspiracy stuff that goes viral that it's like you have to be a brainless idiot to buy into that. And yet millions of people do. And I really think it's because they have nothing better to do with their lives then buy into something that makes them feel like they're involved in, you know, ooh, this big conspiracy.
Well, they know more than you. They are, you know, they're smart and you're dumb. That's the...
Oh, yeah.
I got a lot of that during the, as I sort of alluded to, the whole Bin Laden thing. I mean, it's just, I don't have time for people to lecture me about being a lemming or a sheep because they listen to Alex Jones three times.
Oh, yeah.
And they know what's going on and I don't. It's like, listen.
But Tim, you do know that HARP is responsible for Bin Laden's death. I mean, you do know that. Right? I mean, the Illuminati used HARP to kill Bin Laden. I mean, come on. Don't you know?
Well, it goes back to, I was on Paratopia talking about this because it happened right after the Bin Laden thing. And I was just like, I had to go on a rant, as Larry said. And, you know, it's just like, hey, my attitude about all that after all these years of researching, you know, the Illuminati and the New World Order and everything is that if what everyone's saying is true in the conspiracy mm-hmm. community, then we're fucked. So just go, you know, and enjoy your life because you're never going to overthrow the New World Order. So, you know, stop complaining about it.
God, they've been talking about the New World Order since World War I. I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah, what are you going to do, you know?
Just live your life. Have a blast. Have fun.
Yeah, exactly. just don't yell at me because I don't, you know, post 35 exactly. links to prisonplanet.com on my Facebook page or whatever.
But Tim, like, come on, if it's on a YouTube, you know it's real. Come on.
Exactly.
Jeez.
So is there... We didn't really give away the whole secret to the Trinity secret, obviously. We want people to get the book. But is there sort of like any – first of all, it does sort of go down a new agey sort of realm in
it
a way.
Does,
did you
yes.
catch a lot of flack for that?
Because no.
I can imagine you might. But no?
No, actually, it went down a real metaphysical, almost self-help angle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Larry. You can speak for yourself, but I've got nothing but high praise from people in the religious community. The metaphysical, you know, because the way that we write, I mean, we don't write fluff. We back it up. You know, mm-hmm. the Trinity symbol is backed up by thousands of years of evidence or whatever you want to call it. It's not like we are making this crap up.
Right.
And I've actually had a few people in the consciousness field just say, you know, until I read your book, I didn't get the Trinity. I get it now. And it's really sort of an ancient way of looking at the law of attraction, the way that things work via the law of attraction. So it's something new, but it's also very, very ancient.
How about you, Larry? Did you get any flack down there in Arkansas?
No, nothing negative, surprisingly. You would think being in the Bible Belt that there'd be all kinds of negative stuff, but no, not at all. And I've actually even spoken about it at several different events here, and no, everything so far has been very, very positive.
Yeah, we were kind of surprised. We thought we might get flack for this one, and we've gotten more flack for 11/11 and, you know, ooh, the satanic. You talked about numbers.
Right.
Those are evil. Science is evil.
What? Who did that? I'm not going to say specifically, but tell me the story.
I've gotten emails. I got death threats when I wrote science from fundamentalist Christians.
Oh, my God.
Because I was, you know, propagating the idea that quantum physics could explain reality, and oh no, only God and Jesus could. Yeah, it's hilarious. But yeah, we get. I think 11/11 is probably the only book that we got some crazy crap on.
Weird. What's this?
Yeah.
How could that? That doesn't even make any sense because that I can't see anything in that book that would really.
Well, we have a chapter where we talk about. It's not our theory. Sir Martin Rees talks about how the entire makeup of the universe can be whittled down to 6 mathematical ratios.
Yeah.
And how there seems to be some kind of intelligence behind that, but certainly not a human intelligence. Ooh, oh boy. You don't want to say stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well. God, I can't, well, you know.
Because basically what you're saying is that the universe comes down to math, you know, not some religious miracle, although it could be that as well.
Right. Someone had to come up with the math.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, if the world was only created, 6,000 years ago, then, mm-hmm.
yeah,
we're sort of bucking the trend there.
Yeah, well, you know, for some people it's turtles all the way down.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we have that picture in one of our books. The turtle picture.
Oh,
anyway.
Man. So, all right, yeah. So is there, I'm trying to avoid, like, spoiling the book here, but is there sort of any sort of, like, you said it goes down some self-help, but is there something that people can do to, you know, embrace or utilize the Trinity and, you know, give us a tease of it? Don't, you know, we want them to go out and get the book, so.
What do I think the message that people could get out of the Trinity Secret from a self-help perspective? I think the biggest thing that they could get out of it probably would be,
you know, I know, it's like, I don't want to give it all away, but...
Yeah, I'm trying to think, exactly, I'm trying to think how to...
I'll say something.
Okay.
You know, the secret revolves around the fact that we are creators. That, you know, our reality is our responsibility, and quantum physics backs it up. But what we've done is we've given our power and our responsibility away to everything and everyone, you know, every institution, other people. What we're trying to do is get people to realize that this idea that we are creating our own reality as we go along, and a lot of it's related to the observer effect in quantum physics, that this could change your life if you get that and you go from there and understand how things are created. What is the process? There's three parts to it. We are embedded in that three-part process.
No, I was just going to say, you know, without giving it away, it's kind of the next step, I guess you would say, in the secret. For those people who have kind of read the secret, it's kind of the next
way
step.
To put it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I tiptoed around this, but we want to just sort of give people a taste so they're not just like,
you heard them all talk about Trinity Secret, and what's the secret?
You know what?
Exactly.
I think people know in some sense. They just don't want to admit how, you know, how much power they have in their own lives and how they are responsible for all the crap, all the good stuff. I mean, our reality mirrors what we believe and what we think and what we intend.
Exactly.
If that's the case, the only way to change that is to change all of that stuff on the inside.
Yeah.
And there's a science to it, and that's what we wanted to do, is bring the two, you know, the metaphysical angle and the scientific angle and bring them together.
Nice, nice. We'll head to the end here because things are going on, so I don't want to take up any more of your time. I know you guys will be back again and again and again, so I'm not too worried.
Oh, and again. Absolutely.
And again.
Exactly. And I'm going to play gas station attendant number two in the film, I hope.
Oh, you can be one of the college students. How about that? We'll give you like a total talking, you know.
I'll get a line in the movie?
Yeah.
And you want me to work it so you're looking through the other window in the lesbian show?
That would be great. And then you and I see each other looking in the opposite windows and scare each other and like run off.
Awkward, you're right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little
two
awkward.
Stooges.
Oh my God. All right. Well we danced around it enough and folks should check it out to find out more about the secret behind the Trinity Secret. And as we said, you can get it at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and you know, brick and mortar bookstores. So
if there's any left. Jeez.
Exactly, yeah. So go out and pick that up and what's the due date on the time travel book?
I think it'll be out the beginning of 2012. We're working on it now, so
any reissue of the 2013 book? I think we need to get that back in people's hands.
No, really. They'll sell them like crazy. So, no, I mean, you know, my book is one of the only ones that's turning out to be true. So, no, it's still selling like crazy.
Nice, nice. And how about upcoming events? Now, bear in mind, this will be posted sometime in July. So, anything coming up in the fall or late summer that we should know about?
We're going to be together again in Taos for the ASPE Paranormal Symposium in Taos, New Mexico. That's the end of October. And then, Larry, are you going to Dragon Con?
Yep.
Yeah, he'll be a Dragon Con.
Nice, nice. They don't have any real dragons there, Larry, I've been told, so.
They get
surprised.
Pretty close.
Oh, really? Yeah. Do they?
Some of the pictures I saw. Wow.
I've heard about this Dragon Con. Is it like?
It's like Comic-Con, but it's for the South.
Yeah.
The South area.
And they have some good Rosemary Ellen Guiley goes there too, I think, right?
They had a paranormal track, but Larry's going to, you're going to do the writing track, right?
Yeah, I'm
really cool.
Writing. Yeah.
Nice, nice. So Larry will be at Dragon Con.
I'm going to Comic Con next year. I'll be there next year. Well, hopefully I can drag Larry out too. But yeah, those are great because you really get to reach a whole different audience.
Now, when you go to Comic Con, have you been to Comic Con before?
Oh, yeah.
Do you get, like, a table, or you just hang around and walk around?
Well, I will next year. I went with my son last year just as, you know, part of the insanity, and it was unreal.
Interesting.
It was unbelievable.
Nice, yeah. I've never been there. It sounds cool, though. And you're right in San Diego, so it's like stone's throw
from you. I think this year they sold 125,000 tickets.
Wow.
Damn.
It's just unbelievable. Yeah.
We got to go, Larry.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hey, if we're represented next year with a table, he's coming.
Yeah, I'm going to have a chair out there.
Yeah, we might even have like a booth for 19 Hertz.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
That would be really cool. Yeah.
Nice. All right, sounds good. And, of course, people can find out more from you guys at paraexplorers.com. The conversation started out on one note and sort of just went down the road here with Larry and Marie, and that's what I was really looking forward to all day today
I
was getting ready
to
do this
interview.
And, yeah, you know, we were tough on some people and some groups and some genres out there, but, you know, it's nothing they haven't heard before, and it's nothing they don't need to hear.
Exactly.
So, you know, and if people want to rebut, you know, fire away. Happy to hear from you.
Yep, there you go.
And on that note, once again, thank you guys for coming back on the show. Obviously, we're going to do it again sometime. There's absolutely no concern on my end regarding that, and I can't wait to do that. Yeah. And, you know, have a great rest of your summer, and we'll be in touch.
You too, and if you come to San Diego, let me know.
Absolutely. We'll hang out and have some beers and, you know, prank phone call Larry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, that would be cool.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, too.
All right, you guys take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That does it for this installment of BOA Audio Season 6. Big, big thanks to my good buddies Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman for coming back on the show and for being so candid during that conversation. You can find out more from them at the website, www.paraexplorers.com. And, of course, you want to be sure to check out their books, 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, The Deja Vu Enigma, The Resonance Key, and the latest tome from the Paraexplorers, The Trinity Secret. Check them out. Moving right along now, it's time for BOA Audio listener feedback. But since we are very late with this edition of the program, we're going to skip listener feedback this time around because I want to get the episode out to you as soon as possible. I will say, though, that we got a ton of interesting feedback regarding the Larry E. Arnold episode of BOA Audio that we recently posted, which covered, of course, spontaneous human combustion. Seemed like a lot of folks took umbrage with Larry's style of referring to himself as we or us, and I thought that was kind of interesting. A lot of folks sort of felt the need to dismiss Larry as a result of the way he talked, and others seemed to think that it was some kind of affectation on the part of Larry that he was purposely doing. I'm of the opinion that it was really just something that he has been doing quite a long time, and he wasn't consciously trying to refer to himself in the first person plural. I have a feeling that we're going to be talking to Larry Arnold again sometime in the future, and there's a very, very good chance that we will explore this whole enigma more when we get him on the show again, because it seemed to really resonate with a lot of listeners. A lot of people pointed it out. It seemed to be the biggest thing that they talked about, which is disappointing, I think, in a way, because really, I found the whole SponCom discussion to be tremendous and fascinating. But that's really my take on the whole thing. I don't think Larry was doing it on purpose. I just think that's the way he talks. And it was very interesting. Caught me by surprise. I didn't know this going into the interview. So as I was talking to him, I was completely blown away by it. And that's why we addressed it right away at the beginning of the show. Nonetheless, that's the gist here of BOA Audio listener feedback this week. I also got an email from someone asking where William Zabel is. Once again, I just get emails all the time from people asking about William Zabel. We don't know where William Zabel is. He has not responded to my emails and phone calls now for many years. I would like to get a hold of him. Believe me, if I could, he would be on the program immediately. But as of right now, I know absolutely nothing about the location and whereabouts of William Zabel. He could be dead for all I know. I have no idea where he is or what's going on. But I will try to get a hold of him once again. I try every few months and I don't hear back from him.
but I'll give it another try in a few weeks or months and report back to you if anything interesting comes from that. In the interim, if you want to get in touch with me here for BOA Audio listener feedback, or you just want to shoot me a line to correspond, you can write to me at boaaudio@hotmail.com or go to banalofamerica.com, banalofamerica.com, and click the contact button. And, of course, the final method is to join up at the official BOA forum, theusofe.com, theusofe.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter. Just punch in Binall, B-I-N-N-A-L-L, into the search engine, and I will pop up right away. Follow me, befriend me, poke me. It's all good, and we'd love to have you as part of BOA's online circle of friends. Up next, allow me to offer thanks to the outstanding and esteemed BOA staff, Leslie, Chiron, Regan Lee, Joe V, Tina Senna, Rochelle Hawks, Richard Thomas, Marla Pena, Bruce Pretty, Tony Morrill, our contributing cartoonist, Andy Carolan, and our webmaster, Jeremy Boston. Lots of good stuff up at the BOA website via the amazing BOA staff. Be sure to check it out. We say it all the time here at the end of the program, and it is true, my friends. If you're only listening to BOA audio and you're not reading the columns at Binall of America, then you're only getting half the story. BOA, make it a part of your everyday search for esoteric news and opinion. Now comes the time of the program where I take my hat off and pass it around to the audience and ask you to make a donation to Binall of America and BOA Audio. I know now more than ever times are very tough and very unsettling with the economy the way it is, but I know a lot of folks out there have some disposable income as well, and hopefully they can chip in a little bit and help us pay the bills here at Binall of America. How do you do that? That's simple. You just go to banalofamerica.com and click the PayPal button. They'll walk you through the process. It's simple, it's safe, and it is secure. But maybe you don't trust those folks at PayPal. Maybe you don't trust the internet in general. Who blames you? I don't. I don't trust the internet, and I'm a big part of it myself. So how can you make a donation if you don't trust the internet? Well, that's easy. We made it easy for you because we got ourselves a P.O. box. Here is the address for that. Tim Binall, P.O. Box 232, Pinehurst, Mass. 01866. And you spell Pinehurst, P-I-N-E-H-U-R-S-T. So altogether, once more, it is Tim Binall, P.O. Box 232, Pinehurst, Mass. 01866. And if you send us a donation, please make your donation payable to Tim Binall and not Binall of America, because my bank is anal and they will not cash those checks. And if you're going to shoot me a line, please include your email address so I can get in touch with you and thank you for your donation or your correspondence. As always, my friends, no donation is too small, and all donations go towards Binall of America and BOA Audio to help keep the entire franchise up and running, freely available, and commercial-free for all of our great readers and listeners the world over. Next week on the program, we have a very enlightening conversation lined up for you. I literally just got off the phone taping this interview just now. Our guest is going to be Kathleen Marden. She is the niece of Betty and Barney Hill, and we're going to be talking all about the Betty and Barney Hill abduction, which is coming up on its 50th anniversary later on in September, and is a big, big focal point of the upcoming Exeter UFO Festival in Exeter, New Hampshire. Since Kathleen is an integral part of the big Exeter UFO Festival, and this interview serves a dual purpose to not only inform people about the Betty and Barney Hill abduction case, but also to help promote the big event, we will almost certainly have the episode out for you by around this time next week. In short, we're going to be hearing all about the Betty and Barney Hill abduction case. Kathleen was right there on the front lines throughout it. She was really so amazingly close to this case. It's unbelievable. Now, obviously, I haven't sat down to edit the episode. I literally just got off the phone taping the show. But I can tell you also that it was one of the strangest interviews that I've ever done, because this one was plagued by telephone technical difficulties. And I'm somebody that spends a lot of time on the telephone, never run into these kind of issues. But here on the phone with Kathleen Martin, we were just plagued by technical problems. And strangely enough, they seem to come up during the more controversial aspects of the Betty and Barney Hill case. So I don't know. Make of that what you will. I'm not sure how much of that I'm going to include in the show, because I don't think you want to hear dead air for a minute while I'm trying to figure out what happened to the phone line. But we'll work a way around it to make sure people understand just how strange all this was. So that's next week on Banal of America Audio. Kathleen Martin talking about the Betty and Barney Hill abduction case. Stay tuned to BOA for that. As I said, hoping to get it to you by August 30th or 31st at the very, very latest. And on that note, we close the book on this edition of BOA Audio. Thanks once again to Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman for coming back on the show. And, of course, big, big thanks to all you folks out there, the hardcore BOA Audio listeners, the folks who stick around all the way to the end, the folks who anxiously await each new episode, no matter how long it takes us to get it posted. I thank you humbly for your support of this program and the BOA franchise as a whole. Stay tuned. We've got tons of awesome stuff lined up for you in the weeks and months to come, and some big, big plans for 2012 that I cannot discuss yet, but will blow your mind. And all that is, of course, thanks to the hardcore BOA Audio listeners and the BOA Audio listeners in general who have been so vehement in their support of the program. You guys are the best. You are the fuel that drives the BOA mothership. Thank you for making BOA Audio a part of your esoteric audio playlist. Until next time, this is Tim Banal, thanking you for listening and signing off.